Blog Talk Radio.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed, we are live in Technicolor. Purveyor of political pontification. VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the TerraChat Radio Network. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of the VOCR Live. You know, the strangest thing happened. We were scheduled to go up 30 minutes ago, but the strangest technical problem started arising, which forced our delay by 30 minutes. Now, as we mentioned on our last airing, you know, if Obama was to win, it could be a rocky road for stations such as this. And kill surprise. What a week, huh? Not only was Obama reelected, but Romney's political future almost certainly curtailed. More importantly, the VOCR was wrong. I was wrong. Or were we right? The task at hand now for the VOCR is to monitor the United States as we do any other newsworthy country and watch as their political persuasions plot the future or the demise of America from within. We've got wild Texas exits about secession of Texas from the Union. Talk that comes up from time to time, much like our Canadian Quebec issue. The difference this time is that there is a movement within the United States which has a well-planned course of action to remove the greatness of the USA. Removal of the Constitution was initiated by President Barack Obama recently by way of an executive order. And yes, the Constitution is no longer considered when making decisions about the United States of America. And America voted for him. America voted for him. That's what is of concern, is that, America voted for Barack Hussein Obama. And the American people have spoken. And one would think you should honor those wishes.
One side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer is yes, I'm telling you.
I have just called President Obama to congratulate him on his victory. His supporters and his campaign also deserve congratulations. I wish all of them well, but particularly the President, the First Lady, and their daughters. This is a time of great challenges for America, and I pray that the President will be successful in guiding our nation.
Tonight, more than 200 years after a
former colony won the right to determine its own destiny. The task of perfecting our union moves forward. It moves forward because of you. It moves forward because you reaffirmed the spirit that has triumphed over war and depression, the spirit that has lifted this country from the depths of despair to the great heights of hope, the belief that while each of us will pursue our own individual dreams, we are an American family and we rise or fall together as one nation.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the TerraChat Radio Network, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Shout-outs tonight are a little different, and those being mentioned will know why. Jennifer from Calgary, whom won't even remember how we met, but knows we did. And David from Lethbridge, times they are a-changing, my friend, make contact. And Julie from Medicine Hat, pleased you came aboard. And Connie, from parts unknown, you can get there from here. Honorable mentions to the BC Dreamcatcher, of course the Scottish lass, and last but not least, Beth, the Southeast Brickie's much better half. So, Jeeves, tell me, do we have email tonight? From Richmond. Now, I'm not sure if that's Richmond, B.C. or Tennessee, or parts on parts unknown. We enjoy your show, but find your airtimes to be very erratic. You and me both, brother. Which usually means that we are unable to hear you live to call in. Do you have a regular schedule for the VOCR? And second question is, when is the next night talk on? Well, Sam, there are a few KTR shows I know of that are in the brew, in the mix, and all I can say is watch for the announcements coming soon. As far as the VOCR is concerned, yes, there is a regular schedule coming out. You will see that probably within the next week, and those schedules, of course, are subject to change without notice, as BTR did to us tonight. We had a lousy connection or something guffawed, and we lost the 8 o'clock spot, the 2000 hours, or the 10 o'clock spot in the east, and we had to go 30 minutes later. So we're hoping we can settle those problems down, especially because we are a fully paid service. John from California emailed, listened to November 5th show and enjoyed its drama. What was the music in the background? Is it free copy or did you guys create it? Keep your eyes focused on the prize. Well, thanks for those kudos. And you know what? I noticed on our website we hadn't given credit to these people, and we should, because they've created some great background music that we use on our show weekly. So the music was Field Forces and Growing Danger. It's composed by Tilman Silescu. It's BMI published by Free Play Music, BMI. So in compliance with the broadcast standards of our venue, we are in compliance. So Field Forces and Growing Danger. Two brilliant pieces of music. Very well done. Susan from Winnipeg, you never talk about Manitoba. It is always the States or Alberta or BC. Sometimes Toronto or Montreal, but never Winnipeg. How come? Well, Sue, putting my diplomatic hat on, what would you have me say? What we call Winnipeg is Winterpeg, and the fact that you are not on the VOCR radio radar would seem like a good thing. We do appreciate you listening, and I'll make a point of mentioning Winnipeg from time to time. In fact, please, anybody from Winnipeg that wants to send me an email, just make sure on the regard line you put Winnipeg. Mike from Baltimore emailed his opinion about the election. And to be honest with you, after reviewing the language and attempting to find the meat of his arguments, we were left with few words other than stolen election, we are screwed, I think was the gist. So Mike, for all intents and purposes, the American voter has decided, even if, as some believe, it was won by manipulation or greed. Until a better system of fraud, voter fraud protection is found, I see no way of avoiding rigged elections or faked issues. Democracy must be an evolving system. It must adapt to changing times while maintaining its core understandings of the acts created by the Founding Fathers when the United States was given its created form. They must not be broken. The American Constitution is the backbone of being an American. Without it, many issues can be manipulated without care for the American way of life. So thanks for your colorful email, Mike. I wish we could have genuinely read it out as it was written, even as verbally dangerous as it was.
Time for a pause for the cause.
I believe in America. I believe in the people of America. And I ran for office because I'm concerned about America. This election is over, but our principles endure. I believe that the principles upon which this nation was founded are the only sure guide to a resurgent economy and to renewed greatness. Like so many of you, Paul and I have left everything on the field. We have given our all to this campaign. I so wish that I had been able to fulfill your hopes to lead the country in a different direction. But the nation chose another leader, and so Ann and I join with you to earnestly pray for him and for this great nation. Thank you, and God bless America. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. 347-324-3287.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Nostra.
As the VOCR goes to air tonight, a story breaking which should send chills down the spines of the politicians and voters who re-elected President Barack Hussein Obama. Egypt PM is now visiting Gaza in support of Hamas against Israel. In the headline, Gaza, from Reuters, Egypt's prime minister prepared to visit the Gaza Strip on Friday in an unprecedented display of solidarity with Hamas militants embroiled in a new escalation of conflict with Israel that risks spiraling into an all-out war. Now, two rockets from Gaza crashed near Tel Aviv in the first such attack on the Israel's commercial capital for 20 years. One fell into the Mediterranean Sea and the other in an uninhabited part of one of Tel Aviv's suburbs south of the city. 2 days of Israeli airstrikes have killed 19 Palestinians, including 7 militants, 12 civilians, and among them 6 children and a pregnant woman. A Hamas rocket killed 3 Israelis in the town of Kiryat Malachi on Thursday morning. The latest insurgence in a long-running conflict came on Wednesday when Israel killed Hamas military mastermind Ahmed al-Jabrawi in a precision airstrike on his car. Israel then began shelling the coastal enclave from land, air, and sea. Israel says its offensive responded to increasing missile salvos from Gaza. Its bombing has not yet reached the saturation level seen before it last invaded Gaza in 2008, but Israeli officials have said a ground assault remains possible. The Middle East are beginning to unzip and are about to burst like a zit. Iran are now within reach of a nuclear weapons and announced their weapon-grade restart after stating before Obama was elected that they would refrain, probably because of worry that Romney would do, but knowing that they are safe under the Obama administration. Syria shelling Turkey and Israel, Hezbollah assaulting Israel, Turkey arming Syria freedom fighters who may well be al-Qaeda? On the European front, announcements today that Europe is officially in double-dip recession, splashing across the stock market screens. Money which had been flowing more freely suddenly dried up like a spastic colon. Markets trading around the world held their breath as stock markets quivered to the close of business. And I do invite you to check out the VOCR website for stock market quotes and results, which you'll find on the right-hand side of the site. And as we go to air tonight, a horrific story from Texas is unfolding. At least four people were killed and dozens injured Thursday after a train crashed into a trailer carrying veterans during a parade in Texas. At least four deaths have been reported, and at least 17 people were injured, and 10 of them are listed in critical condition. A flatbed 18-wheeler truck was reportedly carrying 24 veterans and their families for the Hunt for Heroes parade in Midland when it was hit by the train. Show of Support president and founder Terry Johnson tells Midland Reporter Telegram that a Union Pacific train slammed into a trailer that was on its way to the Wounded Veterans event about 5 p.m. Thursday. He says there are multiple injuries, and organizers still are trying to account for everyone. What a terrible, terrible accident. Our thoughts are truly with you tonight. And we hope those that have survived will make it through. And will be able to survive and be with us for many, many years to come.
One side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
I have just called President Obama to congratulate him on his victory. His supporters and his campaign also deserve congratulations. I wish all of them well, but particularly the president, the first lady, and their daughters. This is a time of great challenges for America, and I pray that the president will be successful in guiding our nation.
Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward. It moves forward because of you. It moves forward because you reaffirmed the spirit that has triumphed over war and depression, the spirit that has lifted this country from the depths of despair to the great heights of hope, the belief that while each of us will pursue our own individual dreams, we are an American family and we rise or fall together as one nation.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the Terror Chat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Benghazi Gate isn't getting much clearer. Top intelligence officials struggled to explain to lawmakers on Thursday why their initial talking points after the Libya attack minimized the role of militant groups, putting pressure on former CIA director David Petraeus to set the record straight in another round of closed-door hearings on Friday. Lawmakers on the House and Senate Intelligence Committees heard testimony Thursday in private meetings with the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, and acting CIA Director Mike Morrell that were heated exchanges on the House side, particularly over the talking points that administration officials relied on in days after the September the 11th strike. Now, neither Clapper nor Morrell knew for sure who finalized that information, and they could not explain why they minimized the role of a regional al-Qaeda branch, as well as the militant Ansar al-Sharia, despite evidence of their involvement. The failure of intelligence, frankly, is astounding. It is almost unbelievable. The level of expertise should be concentrated to the financial budget, provided both known and unknown fundings. It is difficult to accept that the Western Intelligence Service is so inept. I have met a few spooks in my life. They're not stupid people. I do not buy the premise that they got it wrong, and equally difficult to accept that the fundamental breaches were evident throughout the full Benghazi Gate scenario. Much like Watergate, if there was a deep throat, he would probably say, follow the money in the information trail. If intelligence was altered, then by whom and why? Now, President Obama has some answering to do, and it will not be easily done. The American actions of voters has caused new dangers to emerge, and these dangers are from within. The next 4 years do not require acceptance of the Obama plan or acceptance of its execution. Voters are now, frankly, irrelevant. Mainstream media are impotent, and forces once enemies are now becoming rulers. As America heads towards the fiscal cliff, which so many fiscally conservative pundits have so righteously named it, the typical political maneuvers continue to prevent forward motion on any plan. A House Republican appeared to open the door on Thursday to the GOP caucus considering tax rate hikes, stepping away from the long-held party line on the eve of high-stake talks over the so-called fiscal cliff. Now, at the same time, a group of Senate Democrats pressed a new set of fiscal cliff demands that would include significantly more taxes to pay for more stimulus as part of any budget deal. The developments underscore how the terms of the debate continue to shift, as pressure on lawmakers to make a deal only increases. They're facing an end-of-the-year deadline to strike a deficit reduction deal or set the stage for 1 year, and in doing so, avert a potentially crippling combo of spending cuts and tax increases come January. The tax hikes alone would cost a family of four, making roughly $75,000 a year, another $3,200 next year, according to the Tax Foundation. So another $3,200 would be peeled out of a $75,000 a year wage in taxes. Can the U.S. avoid the fiscal cliff? Will they kick the can down the road for another few years, temporarily support an unsupportable society, create a false Disneyland to the world economy? Can Obama actually walk on fiscal water?
Time for a pause for the cause.
I believe in America. I believe in the people of America. And I ran for office because I'm concerned about America. This election is over, but our principles endure. I believe that the principles upon which this nation was founded are the only sure guide to a resurgent economy and to renewed greatness. Like so many of you, Paul and I have left everything on the field. We have given our all to this campaign. I so wish that I had been able to fulfill your hopes to lead the country in a different direction. But the nation chose another leader, and so Ann and I join with you to earnestly pray for him and for this great nation. Thank you, and God bless America. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. VOCR, the voice. of the Canadian Rockets on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification,
and a story coming out of Iran by Reuters tonight has a great deal of concern. Iran could soon increase uranium enrichment in an underground nuclear plant, a development that may further complicate efforts to resolve peacefully the dispute over Tehran's atomic ambitions. Now, Iran has nearly finished installing centrifuges at the Fordo enrichment plant buried deep inside a mountain and is believed to be in a position in the near future to significantly step up production there of material that could be used for bombs and processed further. They should be able to increase production within a few weeks, one diplomat accredits to the Vienna-based UN. Now, this is coming from the IAEA on Thursday. Fordo is a particular concern for the West as Iran uses the facility to refine uranium to a fissile concentration of 20%, a short technical step from bomb-grade material. The fact that it is very deep underground also makes it less vulnerable to any airstrikes, which Israel has threatened if diplomacy fails to stop Iran getting nuclear weapon capability. Now, Tehran denies it is seeking such a thing, saying its program is entirely peaceful, but UN inspectors suspect past and possibly ongoing military-related nuclear work. At Fordo, diplomats say Iran has now put in place the nearly 2,800 centrifuges it was built for, up from 2,100 in the previous IAEA report issued in August. Now, Iran is charging forward for a nuclear weapon, and Israel are being pressured to respond to attacks on their borders and missile attacks from the Gaza and the Golan and Lebanon. Syria is a pile of crap right now, and there are intel messages which tend to lead someone to believe that Assad's forces are running out of ordnance and support. Word is that Assad has less than 10 days' supply to end the Syrian war. This, of course, makes chemical weapon much more favorable to Assad. Turkey, of course, are supplying American-captured arms from Libya and Afghanistan as well as Iraq to facilitate the overthrow of Assad, who was once a staunch ally of the Soviet Russia. In the 70s, Syria was Soviet-protected ground. How times have changed. And Senator John McCain launched a fierce counterattack on Barack Obama yesterday after Obama arrogantly called McCain's criticism of UN Ambassador Susan Rice as outrageous and said critics of Rice should go after him. Well, McCain speaking on the Senate floor went straight for the jugular. He said, "This president, this administration, has either been guilty of colossal incompetence or been engaged in a cover-up, neither of which is acceptable to the American people. I speak as a friend of Christopher Stevens. I speak as a person who knows something about warfare. I speak as something of an authority that this attack could have been prevented if the information on the ground had been taken into consideration." McCain wants a congressional selection committee to investigate what happened in Benghazi and how the Obama administration reacted. And he paraphrased Howard Baker of Tennessee during the Watergate investigation when he said bluntly, "There clearly is a need, because there is a huge credibility gap among the American people because of contradictory statements about the attacks. beginning with the President of the United States. What did the President know? When did he know about it? And what did he do about it? McCain then reminded Obama that although he is the President, he is not King. He really does not have any idea of how serious this issue is. I'm a United States Senator, McCain said. We have our responsibilities, we have our duties, and we are not picking on anyone here. And McCain connected the dots by noting that whatever Rice said, her marching orders came from upstairs. Now, those talking points did not come from the CIA. They came from the White House. Who at the White House gave her those talking points? Now, Obama might do well not to cross this man, who survived a heck of a lot more serious issues than an attempted verbal attack by a president. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal said that Mitt Romney was absolutely wrong in his analysis of why Barack Obama won re-election. Jindal's statement made in response to Mitt Romney's comments on Wednesday that President Barack Obama won election by offering minorities and young people gifts. Now, Jindal said Republicans had to go after the 100% of the votes, not 53%, and had to stop dividing American voters. We need to continue to show how our policies help every voter out there achieve the American dream, which is to be the middle class, which is to be able to give their children an opportunity to be able to get a great education, Jindal said. So he absolutely rejects the notion, that description, and thinks it's absolutely wrong. Jindal said one of the most fundamental takeaways from the election has to be that Romney's comments and his failure to communicate conservative principles to working class Americans do not represent where we are as a party and where the party is going. If we're going to continue to be competitive, win elections on the national stage, and continue to fight for our conservative principles, we need two messages to get out loudly and clearly. One, we are fighting for 100% of the votes. And secondly, our policies benefit every American who wants to pursue the American dream. Period. No exceptions. So, no exceptions. Interesting, huh?
One side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer is yes, I'm telling you.
I have just called President Obama to congratulate him on his victory. His supporters and his campaign also deserve congratulations. I wish all of them well, but particularly the President, the First Lady, and their daughters. This is a time of great challenges for America, and I pray that the President will be successful in guiding our nation.
Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward. It moves forward because of you. It moves forward because you reaffirmed the spirit that has triumphed over war and depression, the spirit that has lifted this country from the depths of despair to the great heights of hope, the belief that while each of us will pursue our own individual dreams, we are an American family and we rise or fall together as one nation.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. on the Terror Chat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
I'm gonna listen to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up to the ground come a bubbling crude.
Ah, yes. Oil, that is. Texas tea, you know the rest. BP said on Thursday that it will pay $4.5 billion in a settlement with the U.S. government over the massive 2010 oil spill, and will plead guilty to felony counts related to the deaths of 11 workers and lying to Congress. Now, the figure includes nearly $1.3 billion in criminal fines, the largest such penalty ever, along with payments to several government entities. A person familiar with the settlement said two BP employees will also face manslaughter charges over the death of 11 people in the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig that triggered the massive oil spill. The person was not authorized to discuss the matter on the record and spoke on condition of anonymity. The settlement includes payments of nearly $2.4 billion to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, $350 million to the National Academy of Sciences, and about $500 million to the Security and Exchange Commission. Now, the London-based BP PLC said in a statement that the settlement would not include civil claims under the Clean Water Act and other legislation pending private civil claims and state claims for economic losses. So, out of all of that, all of the money, I hear nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing going to the people who were injured along the coastlines. Absolutely nothing.
One side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
I have just called President Obama to congratulate him on his victory. His supporters and his campaign also deserve congratulations. I wish all of them well, but particularly the President, the First Lady, and their daughters. This is a time of great challenges for America, and I pray that the President will be successful in guiding our nation.
Won the right to determine its own destiny. The task of perfecting our union moves forward. It moves forward because of you. It moves forward because you reaffirmed the spirit that has triumphed over war and depression, the spirit that has lifted this country from the depths of despair to the great heights of hope, the belief that while each of us will pursue our own individual dreams, we are an American family and we rise or fall together as one nation.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the Terror Chat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
As the re-election begins to cause ripples around the political industries around the world, Canada has until December the 10th time to make a decision as to whether to accept the Chinese industry into the Canadian oil sands system. CNOOC looking to buy Nexen Oil and to have a grand multi-billion dollar stake in Canadian oil sands. The much needed injection of cash which China is offering like a carrot dangling from a stick is very lucrative, and Canada's governments are looking for the net benefit to Canada. If it meets the Canadian criteria where the investment is a net benefit to Canada and the people of Canada, then the agreement will go forward. If it is not, then they are requested to resubmit for inclusion. Now, the chances are that now that Barack Obama is president of the United States for another 4 years, the chances are the restrictions on the XL pipeline will be much more stringent than if Mitt Romney had taken the helm. After all, Mitt Romney had claimed and stated that on day one he would authorize the XL pipeline. Now, given that for Canada, we've had to make a preparation of a plan B in case Romney did not make the election, which obviously he has not. So the plan B basically was to accept the Chinese funding and push a pipeline from west to east to ports out through Montreal and through the Great Lakes system onto China. It would have been preferable to take a western leg Pacific haul for the Chinese oil. However, British Columbia, Canada have been holding out for a better deal, and the better deal just isn't there to be had. And the Alberta Premier and the BC Premier are at loggerheads, women to women, as to what is the answer and who is going to save face. But as it stands today, it appears that the deal with British Columbia is probably dead, and the pipeline is going to go west to east, following a gas pipeline previously in existence that has recently been tested for the ability to carry oil from west to east. Bitumen oil being carried on an old pipeline that can deliver to Montreal to port out to send its way to China. What a country, what a concept.
Time for a horse for the cause.
I believe in America. I believe in the people of America. And I ran for office because I'm concerned about America. This election is over, but our principles endure. I believe that the principles upon which this nation was founded are the only sure guide to a resurgent economy and to renewed greatness. Like so many of you, Paul and I have left everything on the field. We have given our all to this campaign. I so wish that I had been able to fulfill your hopes to lead the country in a different direction. But the nation chose another leader, and so Ann and I join with you to earnestly pray for him and for this great nation. Thank you, and God bless America. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. The OCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Nostra.
And with the re-election of Barack Hussein Obama, many have doubts as to the effectiveness of the Obama foreign campaign has been. We have heard stories that Hillary Rodham Clinton is about to retire from Secretary of State, and that she is planning on leaving probably by the end of January. which is of interest. And there has been talk that Senator Kerry is coming back onto the political fold by possibly being, are you ready for this, the Secretary of Defense. Yes, John Kerry as Secretary of Defense. Now, anyone that who has followed history or recent history through the Vietnam War era will clearly remember that John Kerry's opinion of military was less than stellar. John Kerry is not going to get an easy passage if attempted for him to become Secretary of Defense. And much of the old skeletons of the Vietnam War era are most certainly going to surface, including some of the old stories regarding Kerry and the medals, and Kerry and Swift Boat veterans, and Kerry and his Purple Heart, and Kerry and Kerry and Kerry. And he will be cannibalized until there is not much left of him. Unless, of course, the media choose to shine on him the golden rain that they gave Obama over the first 4 years. Because let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, whether you are a conservative, a liberal, a Democrat, a socialist, a communist, you have to admit that mainstream media went out of their way. In fact, was a concise effort to show the Obama administration in the best light possible while demonizing anyone that would go up against the Obama administration. After watching all of the TV stations that are available, all of the Americanized, Canadianized versions of TV stations, all protected the Obama administration well beyond anything they would have done for a Republican administration. The crucifixion of the Republican Party was not only open, but it was synchronized. It was almost like an organized takeover. And I have even heard that. That is it possible that there was a takeover? What do you think?
We'll be right back, right after this quick station break. Got an opinion? Want to make a statement? Phone lines are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama's choice to be the top commander in Afghanistan said on Thursday his envisions a U.S. presence in the country after American combat forces leave at the end of 2014, despite a national war weariness reflected in Congress. General Joseph Dunford, the assistant commandant to the Marine Corps, who has directed combat forces in Iraq, told the Senate panel that the two main missions for an enduring force would be counterterrorism and assisting Afghan security forces. Pressed on numbers, Dunford declined to provide specifics, but did say 1,000 troops would not be sufficient. Now, about 68,000 U.S. troops are still serving in a war that was dragged on for more than a decade. The Obama administration is expected to announce in the coming months that the pace of the U.S. troop withdrawal next year. Dunford is poised to replace General John Allen, whose nomination to take over in Europe is on hold, as he's suddenly entangled in a sex scandal that has led to the resignation of CIA Director David Petraeus. And Allen had been scheduled to testify Thursday, but now is the subject of a Pentagon investigation for potentially inappropriate communications. Allen is due to make a recommendation to Defense Secretary Leon Panetta in the near term on the pace of the withdrawal. In his testimony, Dunford was asked if the U.S. and coalition forces are winning the Afghan war. And he said, "We are making progress." Who recently traveled to Afghanistan, he says, "I believe our objectives are achievable." The Marine Corps general said, "Crucial for Afghanistan will be the elections next year that will ensure whether the financial commitments of other foreign nations are fulfilled." And he also said that there would be engender coincidence confidence for the country. President Ahmed Karzai has indicated that he would not seek another term. So looking beyond 2014, Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican, pointed out that Afghanistan does not have an air force and would likely need attack helicopters and other air power, as well as intelligence capability. And Dunford kind of hummed and hawed and didn't really want to get into the situation. So when we talk about withdrawal in Afghanistan, as Barack Hussein Obama is so proud to spout about, we have to understand that you never completely get out. Bill Clinton figured that one out when he sent troops to the Balkans. Did you know American troops are still in the Balkans? You didn't, did you? It's a dirty world out there. And unfortunately, all of the bad guys promised all of the good things while Barack Obama was electioneering. And the moment that Barack Obama was announced to be president for another 4 years, then they began to push and nudge, as they have done with Israel. Hamas never started any shenanigans while the election was on. But the moment that Barack Obama was announced, they began firing missiles at Israel because they believe that Barack Hussein Obama is on their side and that Barack is not going to defend Israel as the agreement has been made. Now, those are cruel things to think about. But it does appear with all of the trouble that's going on around the world, one would have to conclude that there has to be a reaction from something. And the most major possible reaction would be the election of Barack Hussein Obama for another 4 years. Prior to that, there was an opportunity for Mitt Romney to take the helm. And Romney's theory of battle planning and military was much different than Barack Hussein Obama's. And that was the fight between good and evil, the right and wrong, the black and the white. Who knows what the internal fight and cause and effect was. But what is known is that Barack Hussein Obama has been announced as President of the United States. However, that has not been ratified as of yet and will not be until, I believe, round about December the 10th. And then the inauguration, of course, is January the 20th. So there is quite some time for legal challenges to be laid and played prior to the inauguration of January the 20th. Now, whether the Mitt Romney camp will decide to play those cards is another matter. It does appear that Mitt Romney has accepted his defeat to Barack Hussein Obama, and it does appear that Mitt Romney has made a decision not to develop the possibility that, in fact, Barack Hussein Obama or his campaign somehow fiddled the books or had the books fiddled. There has been many questions regarding that, and I guess that's going to be one of those JFK moments where nobody will believe in its ability and its truth. So all I can say is that we have some dark times ahead and some major decisions to make. We're not sure exactly what those decisions will be or in what direction we will move or in what possible abilities we will have in the future to remain as free as we are and as free as we were and not as free as we shall be. Because it's so important that the Western way of life continue and that capitalistic system actually does work. That is what makes the capitalist system comfortable. That is what sells the product, as they say. So given that, it doesn't take a rich man to understand that being a capitalist is not such a bad thing sometimes. And to look for that capitalistic system is not such a bad thing sometimes. So as we look at the news stories around the world and China having some new leaders and the Egyptian PM is going to Gaza in support of the Hamas against Israel, and the missiles being lobbed at Israel, then Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States of America, has got some very hard choices to make. He is in conflict with himself. He is in conflict with what he has known growing up and the respect that he has for another culture other than with the Western world life. He's in conflict. He knows the right thing to do, but it will go against everything that has been hammered into him and taught to him throughout his life experience. You can call it Christian, you can call it Muslim, you can call it Christendom, you can call it anything you want. But it is a hodgepodge of beliefs and ideas, and any normal, sane person would probably have the same confused ideas and understandings. And that is the difficulty Barack Hussein Obama has to face tonight. It's whether he follows the teachings that have been drummed into him, or whether he does what is right.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared now. Then I heard a loud voice call from the throne. You see this city? Here God lives among men. He will make his home among them. His name is God with them. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death and no more mourning or sadness. The world of the past has gone. TheChatNet.com.